I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Be heard by calling 401-737-1287. Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. We're back to Cordishy and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
So Nick and I were talking during the break. The Red Sox put a tweet out yesterday. Who's the first player you think of when you see this? And they put their 2004 World Series champion logo out there. And there's so many guys on that team you could say, oh, it's got to be David Ortiz. No, how about Dave Roberts' stolen base? No, what about Kevin Millar? He was the character and kept him loose. Curt Schilling's bloody sock. I mean, God, there's just so many. But stuff like that's cool. By the way, the 04 Game 4 of the World Series Championship against the Cardinals is on tonight, I believe, on ESPN.
It's been aired a few times, I think. They've been going through 04 a lot. But it's fun. It's fun to relive it. I know I was sitting there watching. They've done some of them in real time, too. Like, they did Game 4 of the ALCS, and they did that in real time. So it was funny. I was sitting there, and I was working from home a couple weeks ago, and I had ESPN on, and so I do my sports cast, and I'm like, I got to turn this back on, because I knew right around that time was when Roberts was going to steal the base, Bill Miller was going to drive him home, and it's been fun. It's been fun to look back.
So what's also been a lot of fun for sports fans, since we haven't anything live to watch, is watching The Last Dance, the documentary on ESPN about Michael Jordan and all of his greatness. And on Sunday night, at 9 and 10 o'clock, the final two episodes will be aired, episodes 9 and 10. A little bit of a local twist. In fact, credit to you, Nick Coit. I saw your sports cast. Was it last night or the night before?
Last night.
Dickie Simpkins from Providence College on, who was a part of that second run of three championships with the Bulls. I remember it very well. I covered Dickie when he was here playing for Rick Barnes, and then when he was with the Bulls, he would come back. He'd do like a summer basketball camp, and he'd come in studio with me on WPRO give away like Dickie Simpkins autograph Bulls shirts and stuff like that. It was pretty cool. But
great guy.
Real good guy.
Yeah. He was fun to talk to. Just hearing some of the stories, and it's funny. One of my favorite quotes was I asked him about watching it with his kids, because his kids aren't old enough really to remember him being a part of this run. Maybe his oldest, he said, but not his sons. And so his sons are watching this and say, okay, Daddy had some game. Daddy could actually dunk the basketball. And he said, which is so disrespectful from him. I'm like, oh, that's excellent. Excellent. But he had a lot of great stories to tell about MJ and being on the road. He said it was like being with the Beatles. It's totally right. Like, they'd get in from, the last city, going into the next city at 2 in the morning, and people would be standing in the hotel lobby trying to get autographs from MJ. It's like, It was nuts. He was the most popular person in the world, not just basketball, the world at the time.
And what I've found intriguing through some of these episodes is Scotty Burrell.
Yeah.
Jordan has been hard on Scotty Burrell, right? and they interviewed Michael, and he said, Scotty Burrell is literally one of the nicest people you'll ever meet, he said, but I would really push him hard in practice, and I'd almost try to get in a fight with him, because I knew when the going got tough, I wanted him to be at his best, right? So he would purposely in practice try to start a fight with him, not because he didn't like him. He loved the guy. He said he was the greatest guy he's ever met, but he was trying to just get that nasty streak to come out of him, because he knew come playoff time he'd need that. I had a chance to work with Scotty's brother, Abbott Burrell, for 7 years. He was on the staff at Brown University for the football program.
Yeah.
And I've always said this about Abbott. Truly, I don't know if you got a chance to know him.
No.
The nicest guy you'll ever meet. So the Burrell parents did a great job with their kids. Because when I heard Michael say that about Scotty, I'm like, oh my God, that's exactly the way I feel about his brother, Abbott Burrell. Just two great, great people. But watching this documentary now, I come away from this, and look, diehard Celtic fans, right? So I rooted against Michael Jordan. Jordan was starting to zoom into popularity and rise to the top of the NBA as the Celtics' big three was aging right. and declining. And so I rooted against MJ because I was a Celtics fan. Even after the Celtics' big three were done, I was still a Celtics fan, always have been, always will be. So I rooted against the guy. I've come away from this documentary with much more of an appreciation for Michael Jordan than I ever had before. Yeah. I always thought he was the greatest NBA player to ever play, right? So I never disputed his greatness as a player on the floor. I think what I've admired more so is his ability to handle his celebrity. I think the class which he handled himself, his ability to act as a leader and push his teammates to be, you know, as great as he wanted to be. I've really admired, and like seeing this inside stuff, it's made me appreciate him even more. Because, look, everybody wanted a piece of this guy. Oh, yeah. Yet after games, he wasn't like ducking out of the United Center. You know, he'd be signing autographs, very pleasant to people, not standoffish. I'm like, wow, what a good guy. I admire Michael Jordan a hell of a lot more now than I did before this series started. And I admired him a hell of a lot before the series started.
Well, and again, Scott, he was not just the most popular player in the NBA. He was the most popular person in the world.
Absolutely.
It was unbelievable, the celebrity that he had. That's just that scene of him sitting in the hotel room and feet up on the couch with a cigar.
Yep.
That, to me, says everything about what he had to go through. Because when he leaves that room, when he's out in something that is close to being public, he's going to be in the spotlight. That's how big the celebrity
was. That's his serenity. He doesn't like sitting in his hotel room all day, but he has to.
Serenity now.
That's serenity now.
Yeah, insanity later. Yeah. Which you know, the hype around him, it plays into that. By the way, my dad texted me. He remembered the quote about Frank Costanza saying, telling Elaine that he's got a foot odor problem, which is like what we forgot, too, with Costanza. That's great. Oh, between me and you, Elaine. But yeah, it's to watch him and push his teammates and the quotes. It's funny that Jordan going into this was really worried what this was going to do for his legacy and the way people remember him. He was really worried. He thought that people were going to come out of this and think that he's just a giant a-hole. They did. That's what he felt. And I think it's the opposite. I think people are looking at this and saying, holy cow, this guy was, we're getting the inside look at how much of a competitor that he was. Yep. And was to his teammates, was he an a-hole sometimes? Like Scotty Burrell? Absolutely. But guess what?
Steve Kerr, too, got in a fight with him.
He punched him. Yeah. I mean, but he won 6 championships, and he dominated that decade because he was that. And I think the talk about that practice that they had with Team USA, the Dream Team, and how he took over the game, the scrimmage in that practice, that one stuck out to me too. And Magic just saying, Magic of all people saying, Jordan took over a game of some of the best players to ever play. And that, I mean, that right there tells it all. It's unbelievable. He just had this different gear. And the other thing, David Falk, his agent, was actually, I believe, on SportsCenter. And this is the quote. And I agree with you, Scott. I felt he was the best player of all time before this. But David Falk kind of highlights it. He said, if you're not legally blind and you watch this 10 hours and don't realize this is the greatest player of all time, you should probably start watching roller derby. And I agree with him.
He's right,
too. Because there's some people out there, nah, LeBron's the GOAT. LeBron's the GOAT. LeBron is the greatest athlete, I think, to ever step foot on the court in terms of his size and his skill set and everything he can do. He's probably the most athletic guy that's ever stepped on the court. But is he the greatest player of all time? No.
How about the All-Star game at Madison Square Garden when Bird was his coach and, you know, Bird's in the locker room. Well, we're here. We might as well go out and win this thing.
Yeah.
And then That's when Kobe was the young. Was he a rookie that year? I can't remember
that
he made the All-Star game. And Michael took him to school. You know, Kobe like was trying to check Jordan, and he could not contain him.
Well, you could tell. You heard him in the locker room talking about. He's like, "Oh, this young guy's going hard. This young guy's going hard." And he says he's got to learn how to rebound. You know, that'll make him better. Yep. Whatever. I'm like, oh, that's what Jordan did for Kobe. You know, and I think that's why Kobe is a guy that I think of more in terms of being close to how clutch and how big he was in the big time moments in games. Kobe just had that gene that, and he fed off of his tutelage from Michael. They were close. He talked to Michael all the time. And so that's why I think of Kobe when I think of those big spots.
You know, and Jordan saying that his favorite place to play was Madison Square Garden. If you've ever seen a basketball game at MSG, you understand why. The atmosphere there is just different.
The best.
I love it because the court is well lit, but the stands are kind of dark. It's just, I love the atmosphere at the Garden for a college or pro basketball game. And Jordan said that was his favorite place to play.
Big East Tournament is one of my favorite weeks of the
year.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Really is. It's so fun to be there.
But when you watch this documentary, you come away feeling like, now you understand why Jordan was who he was. Because he was absolutely consumed by and driven by winning.
Yeah,
that's what he wanted. Nothing else. He wanted to win, and he would do whatever it takes to get toward that end.
Well, and talking to Dickie Simpkins, one of the things I asked him about was, hey, you know, they just highlighted the year where he comes back in March in 95, and obviously doesn't have his legs under him. You know, he's not in shape for basketball coming back from baseball, and they lose that series to the Magic. And I said, what happened after that? Because they showed how he was shooting Space Jam, but he was getting himself in shape and pushing his teammates. And he said everything changed because that series just got under his skin.
Yeah.
Because he knew, he's like, if I'm at my best, if I am in shape, if I come back a couple months earlier, no chance this happens. And then what happens the next year? They go 72-10 and win the NBA title. And maybe one of the greatest teams of all time. Like that to me. I also didn't know that they set up a court for him when he was shooting Space Jam.
How about that?
That was unbelievable.
How about all the NBA guys that came out there to play pickup with him?
Unbelievable. Like Reggie Miller, Patrick Ewing.
It was unbelievable.
That is awesome.
That was cool.
I never knew that.
That was cool.
That's crazy. That kind of schedule you'd keep up. He'd stop shooting at 7 o'clock and then play pickup for three hours.
And you heard the guys that, like the director of the film, he says, I've never seen anybody work as hard as this guy.
Oh, my goodness.
Like he's working all day producing the film, and then he's playing 4 hours of basketball like after the fact.
Unbelievable.
Lifting weights, playing games.
That was huge. And that, to me, as a kid, that was my real first like taste of Michael Jordan's greatness, you know, because I was really, I was really young to really take in Jordan's early part of his career, maybe even the early championships. I was too young, but I watched Space Jam. I got into Michael Jordan, realized who he was, and, you know, that sort of set me in that direction. And I can't believe he was doing that and getting ready for the 72-10 season. Yep. That's crazy.
All right, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, former Patriots left tackle Matt Light will be our guest. He has something really cool that you have a chance to win. We'll talk about that with Matt Light when we come back on Cordishy and Coit on WEEI.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.